south of the border.
Hi, everybody. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you what it's really like to live, work, play, and or retire in Latin America. I tell it just like it is, not the version they give you in those glossy travel magazines, or the picture they paint for you in those international traveler websites, where they're only trying to sell you something. What's it really like for expats living in Latin America? Well, if you stick around a while, you'll find out. So, let's get started. She was a picture. If you're a longtime listener, you know I'm not one to shout out special announcements, except when it has to do with something like my seminar. But today, I do have a special announcement. On Saturday, June 2nd, I'm doing my very first call-in show. Actually, it's not really a show, but an online teleconference. And if you participate, you can speak to me directly and ask me about anything you want. And my buddy Rob Culpepper will be on the line too, in case you have any questions about becoming an expat in Old World Europe. I know you're really going to like this. In fact, I wish there would have been something like this around when I was first starting as an expat, but such is life. So for complete details, go to expatwisdom.com and sign up for my special report, 17 of the Best Undiscovered Latin American Paradises. If you already signed up for that report through expatwisdom.com, then you'll automatically get the details on that Saturday teleconference in a few days. But you got to sign up to get the news and the details, so go to expatwisdom.com right now. And of course, there's a limitation to the number of phone lines and Skype lines that we can have on that call. But if you sign up right away, you're sure to get a spot. And by the way, expatwisdom.com is my website and my only website. So if you get any notices or messages from that website, www.expatwisdom.com, they're coming directly from me or my associate, Robert Culpepper. And if you do happen to get some messages from any other website, like a few that I've been told have been coming from a guy who's not even an expat, a pure 100% internet marketing guy using a Latin American expat site we both used to blog on and offering expat advice, well, let me just say if you're on some kind of mailing list and are getting emails from a guy like that, saying that he was once associated with me but is no longer affiliated because we have a difference of opinion and philosophy, etc., etc., let me give you a little dirt on what's happening behind the scenes over here, because everybody's got a little bit of a soap opera sprinkled in with their lives. Now, as you might have guessed, I get all kinds of emails from all kinds of people. And occasionally I get emails from hotshot internet marketers who've heard my show and like it and offer to market me as a product. And of course, they want their pound of flesh too. I mean, look at me. I'm just a guy who's been down here in Latin America for 21 years. I've got my little radio program and I don't know a thing about marketing. So I do get emails from marketing people all the time, hoping to hook up with me and make some money off of what I'm doing. They all got this plan on how to turn me into some big commodity. But basically, I'm totally naive about the subject. So anyway, about 6 months or so ago, I started getting a lot of emails from one particular guy who said he wanted to do what I was doing, be an expat, and he also asked me how I was merchandising myself, how I was marketing myself, basically how I was making money off of what I'm doing. And I said, what do you mean? I just have a radio show and I do it for nothing, you know? I give out the information because I'm an expat and people want to know about this stuff. And he said with shock and surprise, you mean you're giving this stuff out for free? What about your website? And I said, well, I don't have a website. He said, what? You don't have a website? Well, we have to do something about that. I'll fix you up a website. We'll put content on there. Blah, blah, blah. You can endorse products and everything else, and we'll make money on clicks and affiliates and Google Ads and all this kind of stuff. To tell you the truth, that I never even heard of before. So I'm willing to listen to him. He actually came down here. And by the way, he'd never been anywhere in Latin America except Mexico many, many years ago. So he was pretty much in the category of 100% expat wannabe with almost zero actual experience down here. Anyway, I did for him what I do for no one. I cleared off a whole week of my schedule. Not that I have this heavy schedule, but I do have a life, you know? And to break away and be an unpaid tour guide for almost a week for someone I didn't even know, well, that's extraordinary for me. I don't know why I did it, but I did. And I took him to a lot of cool places that I thought he should see in that short period of time of about a week or less. And he did pay for my meals and hotels. But it was no vacation for me because I live down here. I could have slept in my own bed and ate my own food in my own kitchen. But I gave this guy the tour, and I really don't do that for anyone that I've never really met. But he was, according to Wikipedia, a retired former internet marketing guru, which didn't mean beans to me, but in his world, I guess that's a big thing. And he had the ego to go along with it, too. So the bottom line is this. This former internet marketing guru calls me out of the blue and offers to set up a Latin American website with me doing all the content. But it turns out he just wanted to jumpstart himself as an expat and make some money in the process. One way to get on the expat fast track in a hurry, if you're a green expat wannabe, is to cling to an expat like me who's been down here like 20 years and pump a guy like me for free advice 24/7. I'm sure you've heard the word time vampire, haven't you? Well, after a while, that gets pretty old. And you know, high-powered first-world marketing guys are used to getting things done in a hurry with a snap of their fingers. And even that's not fast enough. And people like that become friendless, frustrated, unhappy campers when they apply that first-world crap down here. And sometimes, when you introduce people like that to your friends and professional associates, you wish you hadn't because they end up experiencing the very same thing. So anyway, it's like this. Here's a guy like me with 20 years of expat experience who never sold anything or marketed a thing, and in fact, until a few months ago, didn't even have a website. And I guess a guy like me doesn't mix very well with hotshot first world marketing gurus who see everything in terms of dollars and cents and what they can get out of it. In fact, one of my professional acquaintances down here who watched this thing unfold, he told me this. He said, "Did you ever get a phone call, look at the caller ID, and just roll your eyes? Knowing that if you pick up, no matter how nice the conversation goes, there's always going to be some kind of plea for help or assistance buried in that call. And that's all right if it's family or friends, but not someone you just met. How can it not be a plea for help and a big time waster when the person at the other end doesn't have a car or a computer, and you end up being a kind of a taxi service and office boy in the process? It's not bad once or twice, but after a while it gets pretty old. So here's a little tip for you authoritarian expat wannabes up there. Those of you who are used to snapping your fingers and ordering people to get things done for you. And because you're some big shot in your little niche up in the first world, you think that that transfers down here to the third world too. Well, let me clue you in on something before you have a hard landing down here. In Latin America, you're never going to blend in. You're never going to feel good if you expect everything to be done mach schnell, like it is in the first world. And it's no good to be a whiner or complainer or carry a superior attitude around with you down here. That will not get people to work any faster for you or move any quicker. In fact, that just slows things down that much more. And that's no way to make friends in any country. Anyway, folks, if you get any messages from any other website besides expatwisdom.com, they're not coming from me. They're coming from a marketing expert who spent maybe 3 months in Latin America in his whole life. Just thought I'd give you a little heads up on that. Now, speaking of the quirks and idiosyncrasies in the Spanish language versus English, we all know that there are some words in any language that are perfectly innocent, but they translate into a word that could be dirty or off-color and not used in mixed company. And get this, sometimes Latins completely destroy the pronunciation of certain English words and proper nouns. For example, the names of business franchises that make it down here to Latin America, Latins have really screwed up a lot of those, but they don't know they've got it wrong and no one was there to correct them in the beginning. So when you hear the word, for example, Colgate, the Spanish pronunciation of a very common North American brand name, most North Americans would never guess that the word Colgate is Spanish for Colgate. You know, Colgate toothpaste, and that's just one example. And you know, Latin Americans often shorten brand names to the first part of the word. For example, they never say Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola. They say Coca, not Coke, and they say Pepsi, not Pepsi. They never say Office Depot, they say Office. And they always say Tupper, not Tupperware. And Tupperware is huge down here, by the way. Down here, it's still going strong, and people are having those Tupperware parties, just like your mother or aunt once hosted when you were a kid back in the States. And speaking of Latin names for first world franchises, they never say Pizza Hut, they say pizza. So when you go out for a pizza, even though you have maybe six or seven choices, like Little Caesars, Domino's, and all the franchises, they say pizza, which almost always means Pizza Hut. And I guess that's why Pizza Hut is number one in Latin America, overwhelmingly blowing away all the other competition just because the first word happens to be pizza. And for example, they don't say Citibank, they say Citi. And of course, all Latins know what that is because Citibank is huge down here. And it had virtually no presence at all 4 or 5 years ago. Until, of course, the too-big-to-fail banks got those taxpayer bailouts. And where do you think all that money went? After those million-dollar bonuses, I mean. Down here to Latin America. Your tax dollar at work. But I digress. Anyway, Latin Americans don't go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. They go to Kentucky. And here I always thought Kentucky was 1,000 miles or so away. Go figure. But my favorite one is this. Burger King. You know what Latins call Burger King? They call it burger. Simply burger. And sometimes booger, which always makes first world people and expats laugh because, obviously, you don't want to be going to a restaurant and spending your money on boogers. However, it's because Latins don't know what the burger in the Burger King means. Because when they go to any other restaurant like McDonald's or Wendy's or wherever, and order a burger, they don't order it by that name. They don't associate our shortened word burger for hamburger. Instead, when they go to McDonald's or Wendy's or any other fast food restaurant, they use the word hamburguesa, which means hamburger, of course. They just know that the word burger or booger means Burger King. Now, throwing the word booger around when you go to a restaurant sounds bad enough, and it does raise eyebrows with tourists and expats when they hear it. But there's something even more outrageous in the food industry that just makes me laugh to no end. Now, if you've ever been to an Italian restaurant or have eaten Italian food off the street in the States or in Italy, you know they have a kind of a pizza turnover called a calzone. Kind of a stuffed semicircle pastry pizza dough thing with sausage and mozzarella and all that stuff in it. You've seen them, I'm sure. Well, down here in Latin America, things like that are called empanadas. You've seen them. They're a pastry dough thing filled with chicken and vegetables and cheese or whatever. They look almost like a calzone. But until maybe a year or so ago, calzones themselves did not exist down here in Latin America. That is, until Pizza Hut and Domino's started offering them on their menus. As, of course, a genuine Italian empanada. So anyway, a year or so ago, when calzones first made it down here through the good marketing graces of Pizza Hut, you could see them advertised everywhere on posters and billboards and all that. Except there was one big problem in the translation. You see, calzone, spelled C-A-L-Z-O-N-E, the correct Italian pronunciation for the thing, and the spelling they use up in the first world, means ladies' panties in Spanish. Calzone, look it up, ladies' panties. So naturally, the first month or so, these promotions, billboards, and television commercials came up down here in Latin America. Some people were shocked about it, and some people just laughed their asses off. Especially adolescents, young teenage boys, and wise guys. And I bet that heads rolled up there at Domino's and Pizza Hut headquarters in the United States. Some brilliant marketing guy up there didn't do his cross-cultural homework. All of a sudden, the commercials were all pulled. Then shortly after that, about 2 months later, calzones reappeared again. The big marketing blitz once again, this time, but with a change in spelling of the calzone. C-A-L-Z-Z-O-N-E. Calzone with two Z's. Which, by the way, still tends to make adolescents and teenage boys giggle, make snide comments, and break into the occasional gut laugh. And, you know, here's another very interesting and cool thing, I think, about Latin American culture. And expat Eddie clued me in on this one. He said, Johnny, aren't you relieved that Latin Americans, the ones that speak English now, aren't you just so relieved that they don't use awesome and dude every 10 words like they do in the English language? And it turns out Eddie's right. You never hear the word awesome and dude coming out of the mouth of a Latin American, even the ones that speak very good English, unless, of course, you're around entitled kids of the Latin rich who have gone to bilingual schools all their lives, who fly regularly back and forth to Miami on shopping trips, because families with money like that try their damnedest to be just like gringos. So if you ever do happen to run into a young Latin kid who uses the words dude and awesome in his everyday English conversations, you can be sure that a kid like that is from a very rich family. But in fact, for people like expat Eddie and me, who pretty much only hear the words dude and awesome on idiotic US TV programs and reality shows, we find it an immense relief that kids down here are free from those first world adolescent outbursts. And you know, I also notice when I phone up my relatives up in Chicago, my nephews and nieces are just peppering me with that kind of conversation. And you know the dude thing, I kind of get. It means man, basically, right? And we used man all the time in the 60s and 70s and 80s, until it was basically edged out by dude. But the awesome thing I just don't get. I mean, to me, an atomic bomb explosion or a lottery win would be awesome. But a Red Bull or a Lady Gaga concert? Not awesome. Not even close. I'm sorry. Awesome is when a UFO lands in your backyard, an alien comes out and says, come on with me, I'll show you the universe. Now that's awesome. So what I'm saying is that Latins are blissfully free of modern gringo slang. They're still stuck back in the days when people in the first world, in casual conversation, still said man about every 15 or 20 words instead of dude. So on any given day down here in Latin America, you could be sitting in your backyard talking to the gardener, and you happen to offer him a cold sandwich or a beer, he'll say, sí, hombre, which means yeah, man. Or in casual conversation on the street, you'll just hear a lot of hombres thrown in for good measure, like the word dude in the first world. And because Latins are such a polite society, when you're in mixed company and somebody's really ticked off, or someone's making a strong exclamation, a man, anyway, will often say, hijo de, which is the first part of the crude phrase, son of a. Like, for example, if a person gets a sliver or slams his hand in the door or hits his finger with a hammer, he might yell out, hijo de, which means son of a, but he won't finish the phrase if he's in mixed company. But if he's alone or with his buddies, he probably will. Though in mixed company around women, guys almost never complete the phrase. And if you are around people who do complete the phrase in front of women, which is hijo de la puta, which means son of a bitch, then you're probably in the wrong section of town, because the kind of people that use that kind of language in front of women, or women themselves who use that language, are really members of the lowest class of people in Latin America, and you usually find them hanging around in the rattier parts of town, places that you and I don't want to be in. So you can tell the lower, even criminal classes of society by the way they speak, much like up in the first world. Kind of on par with people in the first world we call white trash. But you won't pick up on that till your Spanish gets pretty good. Oh, and by the way, the F word is virtually unknown in Latin America, as is flipping someone the bird. So, for example, if you're driving your car down in El Salvador and someone cuts you off and you're really angry, and you pull up next to the guy, roll down the window and say, F you, excrement head, and flip him the bird, he just might smile and give you an innocent wave right back. That is, unless your face is all curled up in anger and you're shaking your fist at him, then he's going to get the real intent. But the F word means nothing to a Latin person, unless, of course, you run into one that's been deported from up in the first world. In other words, he went up there illegally and got caught and shipped back. Then surely he's been exposed from day one to that word. Because, you see, the F word is one of the first English words they pick up, because they end up where it's used most often, in the Latin areas of the big cities in Chicago, New York, and L.A. The transplanted Latins there use the F word like middle-class teenagers use dude and awesome. So if you ever do hear the F word coming from anyone's mouth down here, from a Latin person, it's either coming from an illegal alien who's been deported back to his home country, or coming from the mouths of Latin adolescents or young adults whose parents are wealthy enough to send them to the high-class bilingual schools all their lives. And kids who go to high-end bilingual schools like that learn their English so well from teachers who are gringo expats that by the time they hit junior high, they're watching U.S. cable TV in English without relying on subtitles at all. In fact, they're so 100% bilingual, they know practically everything we know about first world trends and language and music and fashion and what's in and what's not. And though their knowledge may be superficial in a lot of other areas, they're tuned in to American culture. And when you see a bunch of these kids on the street, you'll know them because they're wearing the latest and the greatest, most expensive and trendy fashions. They'll be mixing Spanish and English words with ease. And yes, they'll be using that F word. A lot of effing this and effing that, sprinkled in, unfortunately, with a lot of dudes and awesomes. But luckily, that's less than 1% of the Latin population. So you're probably only going to experience that if you're in the areas where the rich kids hang out. In other words, in a big city disco and restaurant district, or in high-end shopping malls. So if Latins don't use the F word because they really don't get it, what do they use in its place? Because there's got to be a word for it, right? Well, there is, and the word is joder, J-O-D-E-R. The J has an H sound in that case. And by the way, like the F word in the first world, that's one of the words, joder, that's strictly forbidden on Latin TV, except cable TV. On cable TV, anything goes. And while I'm talking about that, if you ever listen to popular music radio in Latin America, the stations that run the top Latin rotation of hits, every once in a while, maybe every 10 or 15 songs, you'll hear a popular first world rap or hip-hop or disco song by Lady Gaga or Katy Perry or Rihanna or whoever's popular in the moment, along with a lot of the rap songs that are really pretty filthy in English. And I don't know what they're doing up in the first world now with the radio stations, but down here, you hear the F word all the time on the radio, and it really isn't given a thought because they don't really care about it. It doesn't have the meaning that it has up in the first world. In fact, it has no meaning down here because people have a hard enough time understanding the Spanish in some of their own songs, just like some first world people, me included, have a hard time understanding English lyrics these days. And it's not a sign of old age because I couldn't understand Mick Jagger back in the 70s. And these days, what first world adult can understand English language rap songs? I mean, I've tried to listen, but I can't understand much at all, except for the obvious F word and other four-letter expletives. So if you turn on the average modern Spanish radio station, not the ones that play traditional Spanish music or salsa or merengue, well, prepare yourself because every so often you're going to hear a slew of F words, but you'll never hear the word joder, which is their version of the F word, because that's strictly prohibited. And by the way, if you say the word joderse, which is joder with S-E after it, joderse, that means go F yourself in Spanish. And as you might imagine, on the street, in the company of men, and on construction sites and such, it's quite a popular word. But, like I said, the society is so polite, it'll almost never come out of a Latin woman's mouth or for that matter, even uttered by a guy in a woman's presence, unless it's being done by the vulgar lower classes, the Latin American version of white trash. Now let me switch gears a little bit. I'd like to give you some news from Caracas, Venezuela, a place I don't recommend you go to. Now the biggest daily newspaper in Caracas says today that they estimate that 20% of all the crimes committed in the country are committed by uniformed policemen. And if you remember some months ago, I talked about how in Latin America, policemen don't have much gas allotted for their cars, so they almost never do high-speed chases. Instead, they set up roadblocks with two, three, four, or five cops sitting there, and they'll put up those cones, those pylons, and you'll have to stop. They'll wave you over, look at your papers, ask to see your license, and then they might go through your car piece by piece, looking for whatever, armas, they usually say. Armas are guns. Contraband or illegal substances. Now, I've been pulled over dozens of times like that, but what's going on now in Caracas, Venezuela is this. People are becoming more and more afraid of their own uniformed policemen, so more and more drivers are not stopping at those roadblocks, but buzzing right through. Try that in the first world and see how far you get. And as one guy told me, there are certain spots in the city where these roadblocks are routinely set up. In other words, you can almost expect them to be there a couple of times a week. And by word of mouth and on the internet, people are learning to avoid those spots in the city. People with money and nice cars, that is, because those are the kind of people the police like to pull over. Because they know it's very easy to get some bribe money out of you, or they can even get something of value in your car, like a cell phone, or even a laptop computer. And let me warn you, if you do get flagged over by a cop in any Latin American country, make sure you take your cell phone and your iPod and your laptop and hold it in your arm when you get out of the car, because eventually the police will make you get out of the car and they'll stick their head in there, and sometimes they'll sit and route around under your seat and in your glove compartment looking for things. And if you happen to have a loose cell phone in there, many times you'll never get it back. In fact, you won't even know it's missing because you're a little shook up because you got pulled over by authorities, and everyone's a little nervous when that happens. Anyway, by the time you get on the road and realize it's gone, the last thing you want to do is go back and confront those guys. Then you might be asking for some real trouble. Because the last thing you want to do in front of a Latin cop is to start asking his name and writing his badge number down. No cop likes that, even in the first world. And here's a little trick that expat Eddie taught me. He has a laminated business card that he had made up at an Office Depot that says he's a journalist for the Miami Herald. It's got the logo on there and everything, and Eddie's picture. And when Eddie gets pulled over, he makes sure that when he hands him his license, he hands him that with it. Spanish side up, of course. Now, if there's one thing that every Latin American has an affinity for, that's Miami. And there's one thing that they have respect for, and that's journalists. Even though I'm sure you've read often enough that journalists down here in Latin America often get killed or disappear or get kidnapped. Well, that does happen occasionally, but only to investigative journalists who dig a little too deep into some big-time government corruption case. The average journalist, on the other hand, gets a lot of respect from the public, including police officers, especially police officers. And that's why when Eddie gets pulled over, he never pays a bribe and he never gets hassled. And although they might ask him a few questions like, porta armas, which means are you carrying a gun, still, Eddie never gets searched. Not anymore, not since he's had that reporter's ID on him. And here's a funny one for you. A lot of my gringo and expat friends down here, when they see a police roadblock coming up, flagging down the occasional car. And by the way, in reality, they don't flag down too many at all. A lot of times you'll see five or six policemen just standing around, leaning on a tree, talking to their cell phone, and not a single car pulled over. That's usually the case. It seems to me a lot of those roadblocks are just good places for the police to camp out and hang. You know, kind of a social thing for them. Though when it's a big public holiday and there's a lot of cars on the road, you see a lot more cars being pulled over. And I think sometimes it's the police getting their revenge because they gotta work when everybody else has got time off and are going out to the beach or to party. Well, then the police are just going to punish everyone and give out more tickets. But expat Eddie sees it differently. He says the police pull over a lot more cars during the holiday season and when there's a national public holiday and people go to the beach, because at that time most cars are stocked up with things. Booze, coolers, cameras, and of course they're all carrying cash because that's what you do when you're on vacation. You spend a little cash, right? And Eddie says, and I know he's right, the cops are getting a little better payday out of it than they would on a regular work day because people are in a hurry to get to the beach and they're more than willing to pay 10 or 20 bucks just to get out of there in a hurry and not have their vacation delayed. But back to that little statement a lot of expat drivers have told me about how they avoid getting singled out at one of those roadblocks. Many have told me that from quite a distance away, they'll pick out a truck and get right up back behind him. And the truck does a good job of blocking the cop's view, the cop that's flagging people down, that is. So the cop is just focusing on that big old truck, and you're hanging in a blind spot right behind him. And as that truck drives by those cops in their roadblock or gets pulled over, whatever the case may be, as that truck gets closer and closer to the cops, you swing off into the far left lane yourself, sweep right by, and you're gone while the cop's concentrating on the truck. Or you can pull this slick expat Eddie move. You get into the left lane, and if you are one of the unlucky ones to get flagged, you don't slow down or stop at all. You just smile, give them a big happy grin right back, and wave. You know, playing the dumb gringo, because they can obviously tell that you're a gringo by the way you look. And you know, I've never met an expat who've ever been chased down by a cop because they didn't stop. And some older, retired expats pull that stunt all the time. And the cops, they're just not that energetic, believe me. And instead, they just blow it off and maybe flag down the next car that comes by. I tell you, when it comes to law enforcement authorities in Latin America, the dumb gringo bit goes a long way. Especially the dumb gringo that doesn't speak Spanish. No hablo español. And that bit works well in all but a few Latin American countries. Namely, Costa Rica and Mexico. Because they've got so many English speakers there, and so many gringos, that most cops will know just about enough English to ask for a bribe. So when you say, no hablo español, they'll say, no problem, I speak a little English. And then you're stuck. Meanwhile, back in Caracas, Venezuela, the third largest oil producer, the police have all the gasoline they can possibly use. Not like in the rest of the Latin American countries, where they only get maybe 2 to 5 gallons a day. And a cop pulling into a gas station just might ask you to chip in for some of his gas. That's happened to me a few times. Anyway, in Caracas, Venezuela specifically, the public are afraid of the police. So they're doing everything to avoid stopping at those roadblocks. And they're doing it by posting alerts on the internet as to where the cops are setting up their roadblocks. And trucks are even setting up a kind of a blocking system and letting cars pass them on the left on purpose. Kind of pulling a defensive move to foil the police. Because you see, cops don't like to pull over truck drivers and bus drivers themselves. Because if the drivers are working for a big company, they just might file a complaint that'll do some harm through their company if crooked cops pester them too much on certain sections of road. Plus, bus and truck drivers aren't carrying a lot of cash or expensive cameras or iPhones or laptops, whereas a guy or a woman driving a nice SUV probably is. So they're much more likely to get pulled over, of course. So in Caracas, there's a kind of an underground organization of drivers against traffic cops. Dude, isn't that awesome?
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you each week from somewhere south of the border. And don't forget, you can email me on anything at all about Latin America, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Once again, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. See you next time. Nos vemos.